Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are in the middle of our week together going through some of Luke chapter 14, and the words that we're reading from Jesus, friends, are incredibly convicting. And we began our week talking about what is Jesus's vision for discipleship. And I think this is such a good thing to just continue to dwell on in our own lives, because I think in the modern world, you know, we have social media, we have all of these different things, and it's so easy, I think, to baptize the ways of the world and worldly things. And because we're like, oh, this can be made holy, or this can be redeemed, this can be good, we put that as like, this is Jesus's vision for discipleship. And what I've consistently been convicted by the Holy Spirit is I want to encounter the real Jesus. I want to know what he said. I want to know what he taught. I want to follow him in the way that he desires to be followed. And so we began talking about that. If Jesus presents this very difficult, high standard way of discipleship to the multitudes, he doesn't reserve it for a holy few. He doesn't reserve it for the future pope. He doesn't reserve it for the people that are like, oh, that person's going to be really close to God. And, you know, I'm just going to be a normal person. He pitches the invite to everybody. And what we talked about yesterday is kind of this thing that we were grappling with. If Jesus says, if whoever does not hate father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, cannot be my disciple. And I want you to go listen to that episode from yesterday so you can grasp what Jesus is fully saying. But the heart of what he's getting at is disordered attachments. And so the first kind of things we started with was, one, Jesus is saying this high call, the high standard of discipleship, it's for everybody. It's for every single person ever to live. This is the call that I'm placing on you. So two, the height of the call, the standard, because of the dignity that you have, that Christ is calling us to. And then two, that a fundamental part of discipleship is confronting disordered loves and disordered attachments and putting them right so we can attach properly to the person of Jesus. And we want to continue on with that, and not only today, attachment to others, but an attachment to the control of our own life. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we examine this text. And as always, friends, as we pray here, I just want to continue to invite the Holy Spirit, because these words of Jesus can be challenging. But what I want to tell you and what I want you to remember is that Jesus never condemns. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't shame. His words only convict. And so as we're reading, and if you're like, okay, even in this intro, like whatever, I listened to the first 2 days, I'm just feeling so discouraged, especially in Lent, and so frustrated because I'm not radical enough and I need to do more and I got to get more on my checklist and I'm failing at my Lent thing and I'm yelled at my kids and da-da-da, all these different things. We have these lists in our head, and Jesus is saying, that's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm not trying to come in and shame you and say, look at you, you're not reaching my standard. When I say standard, it's God giving us a vision. And the vision of life that we are made for is so incredibly high. It's not like a height that condemns us and says, look at you, you're so bad. But it's a height that says, come up here. Look at this mountain that I've given you to climb with me, because you're made to reach the heights, because you're made for so much more. This is the invitation of Christ as he shows us, as he says, like when he says, like, hey, you cannot be my disciple. He's not being mean. He's not shaming. He's not condemning. But he's saying, this is the vision of life that you were truly created for. So let's enter into that together. So as we pray today, before we read our text, I want to invite you to read from that place. Not from a place of condemnation, not from a place of frustration, but truly from that place of surrender to the Lord, of saying, I know you're not condemning me. You may be challenging me. You may be convicting me, but I know you're not condemning me. So let's go ahead and pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the ways that it presses on us, that it challenges us, that it confronts our hearts that are so entrenched in worldly attachments, that are so desirous of control, that are so plagued by ego. And Lord, I pray today that you would just come with the power of your conviction, but also with gentleness. that you would poke those places of our hearts and that we would experience the fire of your love purifying us, but in a way that is not condemning. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we worship you, and we thank you. And we pray that you would speak to us through your word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, Luke 14:25. Now great multitudes accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down and first take counsel, whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." So we're just going to go basically one verse more. I mean, yesterday we talked about that preferring God, giving God primacy in all of our relationships. And so Jesus is saying, hey, I've come to confront your attachments. This is so key. And friends, this is a gut check. If we are living a way of discipleship that does not confront disordered attachments, that does not say, hey, God above everything, God above these other relationships. If the way of discipleship that we're living, the word of God that we're reading, the people that we're following in terms of being discipled by them or walking in discipleship with them, if there's not this constant rub up against saying, am I ordering my life properly? Am I ordering my life according to God's will for me? Am I preferring other people? Am I preferring other things? There was even a conviction I had in Lent was, you know, the Lord was saying, it's so good I have to get a workout in every day, for example, along with my prayer. I have to pray and I have to get a workout in. And there were times where it was like, okay, I have 45 minutes right now and I really just like need these endorphins. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the Lord was convicting me in my own heart of the amount of times that I was choosing to use the only time slot I had for working out instead of prayer. And he was just saying, hey, this is a really simple way that you can just let go of this attachment and, you know that I can provide for you. It's so good to work out, so good to train your body. But sometimes you're actually compromising that one-on-one time with me for this workout that you want to do. Or even allowing the Lord to examine relationships and examine our motivators, or how much are we motivated by certain relationships in our lives. How much are we motivated by what we think our parents will approve of us for? And again, it's like this imperceptible line of it's so good to care about other people, but how much, where is our treasure? Where is our treasure? And Jesus continues that with this next line. He just gets more and more intense. He ratchets it up. He says, whoever does not hate father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and even his own life cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not hate his own life cannot be my disciple. And again, Jesus isn't, he's not using like this emotional hostility of being like, I don't want to live. I hate my life. My life is the worst. He's not, Jesus isn't emo. You know, he's not like, oh, like this life is so bad, whatever. Hate your own life. But again, he's using that to love less by comparison. And I think oftentimes we fall into this trap of when we desire, we're like, oh, I want to know the will of God. So I'm just going to become indifferent to everything. And then I'm just kind of functioning in indifference. And holy indifference is good. But then we often carry that over into our relationship with God. And so we're like, okay, whatever. I don't have any opinions. I'm just indifferent. And so then even when we're offered the will of God or when we're following Jesus, we're even indifferent about that. And I love this that says to love less by comparison. Jesus isn't saying throw your life away, but he's saying your own life, the plans you have for it, whether you live or die, your relationships that make up your life, the vision of your own life, love it less by comparison to me. So it's not even like become indifferent. He's like, love me so passionately and so intensely. Love me so much that this other thing, your own life, your attachment to what's going to happen to you pales in comparison. You know, it made me think of in his book Orthodoxy, G.K. Chesterton talks about this idea of a martyr. And I think this is so good. He says, a martyr is a man who cares so much for something outside of himself that he forgets his own personal life. That he cares so much for something outside of himself. And I think oftentimes when we think of Jesus inviting us to hate our own life, we see it just in that negative. And he's saying, what I'm saying for discipleship is I'm inviting you to care about the cause of Christ so much that you lose the attachment of what you think your life needs to be. You lose the compulsion of taking care of yourself, of putting the puzzle pieces into place, of crafting a life that looks so perfect. You have the perfect husband and the perfect kids, and you guys have the perfect Catholic aesthetic, and everybody that sits behind you in the pew thinks you have the cutest outfits and the most well-behaved kids, and you have the best house, and you're putting all these pieces together and the best Catholic art and all that kind of stuff. And again, none of that is bad. It's not bad. I'm not saying it's not a good, but Jesus is saying, I'm the prize. And a fundamental, non-negotiable of following me is to love me so much. What this is getting so caught up in me, in who I am, in being consumed by me, in becoming obsessed with me, becoming obsessed with God. A vision of discipleship is nothing is too much. He's saying become obsessed with God, and then these other things that we're obsessed with, they will begin to pale in comparison. So he's not saying desire to die. He's not saying like, oh, be like, oh, my life is the worst. Oh, I'm complaining about my life. My life is so empty, all this kind of stuff. Become someone who cares so much about God that you forget your own personal life. This was the saints. This is the martyrs. This is the apostles. Think of the apostles after Pentecost. They are so caught up in a heavenly vision of humanity. They are so caught up in the life of Jesus. They have this supernatural drive, this supernatural energy, and they're like, we're going somewhere. We're moving somewhere. We're following a man who, when he met me on the shore, he gazed into my eyes. He told me who I was and he said, come follow me. And I've never been the same since then. And Jesus is saying, if this isn't what you're living for, it's not an aesthetic. It's not a nice way of life. It's not a way that gets you a good life or people respect you or it's a good morality program. It's about becoming obsessed with the one who has called you, that the rest of your life begins to pale in comparison to the things that you were interested in before. You know, like my brothers, for example, they and my dad, when I was growing up, they loved Notre Dame football. They just like it would affect their entire mood. Like they would be sad. They would be in a depressive episode for like the next 24 hours if Notre Dame lost. And as they got older and as they became more honestly, in love with Jesus, they cared less. Like, they still enjoyed it, but they cared less. And so, friends, this is the invitation. Care so much about Jesus that you're willing to lose your life. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.